Father of Storms. Written by Dean Jones. Produced by Be Here. Episode 12.
Be Here. Bringing books to life. Vision without sight.
Chapter 22, The Meeting. They had settled in a small village on the outskirts of Tamworth, not far from the King's Castle. The village was a busy one, which had expanded and continued to grow as more people arrived to work and trade in the area. Many of the villagers had lived there less than a few summers, with the older inhabitants slowly replacing houses with newer, more substantial properties. The centre of the town was less than a few miles away, with the newly constructed church dominating the skyline. The once wide-spreading woodland was slowly being removed to make way for homes and fields to grow crops for the ever-growing population of Tamworth and the surrounding area. Æthelbald had made sure they had a large farm to call their own, making them feel welcome in their new surroundings. Their new house was cavernous compared to where they had lived before. In truth, the whole village was huge when reflecting on the one he had grown up in. It even contained its very own church, which was significantly smaller than the one in Tamworth, and built from wood opposed to the stone structure the king attended. Nonetheless, it was a sight for one who had not seen its like before. Meredith was in awe at the building when they arrived. The farm itself had multiple fields for him to grow crops and graze livestock, stretching up the hill towards Tamworth. A road ran alongside his land, where traders and other travellers made their way into the king's town from the south. These passers-by provided many of the village with the opportunity to trade or sell their goods. They had been provided with cattle and pigs from the king as a gift, which was a surprise as they had also bought the few animals they had reared with them. The land was plentiful enough to accommodate them all, even though Seth needed to build additional pens for the pigs. Æthelbald had organised many feasts in their honour to introduce them to the local people. The king's generosity was well known, as was his lack of mercy when crossed. Meredith had made their new home comfortable and welcoming. Seth worked hard in the fields to ensure they didn't go hungry. Their harvest was so bountiful they could provide for those in the village who weren't as good at farming as Seth. Meredith had told Seth it was his duty as a spey worker to help those in need. The fact that no one knew about his gifts was little excuse not to share the skills he had. This was one thing his wife was adamant about. He was exceptional and had spent many hours and days honing his skills with May before her death. So, during times when there was no need for his physical prowess at his king's side, he was always ready and willing to share his ability with Frigg's energy around his own or his neighbour's farms. Trying to keep it secret was an arduous task, and he had, more than once, felt the need to persuade someone who had begun to gossip about his knack with animals and plants by dropping the king's name, or by merely being himself and intimidating them with his size and physical prowess. None really took to the gossip, as Seth always ensured the occasional failing crop, and was always there to help any of the neighbours in tough times. It continued for many months, with them both becoming key members of the community. Seth was also proving to be a vital aid to his king's conquests and battles. Seth had not needed to perform anywhere near his abilities on the battlefield. He had been no more than a bystander in the last foray into the Northern Territories to again hold back the tribes from over the sea. He knew Æthelbald had plans to conquer so he could bring all under his rule. The goal was to finally call himself the King of the Britons, but he had to rid their lands of the Northern savages first, so his plans were stalled for now. Seth could feel a significant battle coming. During his regular conversations with the Mara, they had told him the same thing many times. One night, whilst he was sitting in his fields waiting for the sun to drop over the horizon, Seth again called the Mara forth and waited for their arrival.
Master, how may we serve you?
The Mara said as they appeared before him.
I am worried about the upcoming battle to the south. There's been growing nervousness at the news coming from the messengers that there is a vast army ready to defend their lands. Is this true?
The Mara glanced at each other, then back to Seth.
You are right to be concerned, Master, for there is a great battle coming. You should know that you will be glorious. All will flee before you.
The Mara's pause caught Seth's attention, and he looked to both of them.
You have something on your minds, Mara. Some wisdom you wish to give me on this night.
Mara shifted uncomfortably before they had a quick glance over their shoulder.
We do not, Master. But there is one who would wish to speak with you. You are becoming well known in your world as well as ours, Master.
Mara gave the compliment, but Seth could see their unease.
Who is it who wishes to talk with me?
As the question left his lips, there was a heavy feeling around him as the air thickened and the night grew black. Quickly, the Mara shot behind him. He could feel their hands on his back as they hid from whatever was coming towards them. Seth focused on the night. He wondered if this was another test, like the one where he met the Mara many years ago. A shape moved in front of his eyes as Seth tried to focus on it, but he found it was a shape which held no real form, so only glimpses could be had as it settled briefly before blurring again.
Who's there?
Seth called.
Seth, son of Gareth.
The voice boomed in his mind. The temptation to put his hands over his ears was tremendous, though he knew no sound had been uttered from the darkness.
I have waited a long time to finally meet you, Seth. And here we are, sat outside your home where your beautiful wife is cooking you a meal. You have a wonderful life here. It seems your decision was wise after all.
Seth's confusion took over as he wasn't sure whether he'd just been threatened. The voice in his head had quieted so he could think. He was sure he disliked what he was hearing.
My wife is none of your concern, creatures, and I would warn you no good will come to you should you either consider visiting her or harming her in any way.
Seth felt the Mara behind him cringe at his words, but he knew he had the upper hand here as he was living energy. They were spiritual energy, which, although more complex, needed a link to the living world of humans so it could influence those it touched. There was booming laughter which hung around him like a curtain of sound. Seth found himself disorientated from the experience.
You still are the courageous one, aren't you? Threatening something you know nothing about. I have always liked that in you.
Seth's eyes focused on a shape not far in front of him. It was a man, he was certain. And as it grew closer, he could see the size of the one who had the voice like thunder. Seth took a small step toward the oncoming figure and was cut off by two black wolves, the size of horses, that rushed ahead of the man. Seth could see the flowing hair of his beard and the ornate cloak which wrapped around his broad shoulders. The size of the man became apparent as he reached the wolves and placed a hand onto the head of the one to his left as they sat obediently at his command. His right hand carried a golden spear that reflected all the light around him and was blinding to look at.
Who are you?
This time, Seth's voice had a tone of pleading as he realized this creature was unlike anything he had met before or even heard of from the many tales he had heard about those creatures who live in the Spey. The question floated for a moment in the air between them, though in truth, Seth had an idea who this was. He wanted confirmation. The man laughed and tossed his long blonde hair over his shoulder as he gazed down at Seth with compassionate eyes.
You know me as Walden, though some will come to know me by a different name. Either way, I am the god of war and the sky.
Seth fell to his knees as he bowed before the god he had prayed to on many occasions. The shock had removed his ability to speak as he cowered low to the ground, hoping Woden would not have taken offense at his earlier threats.
Lift yourself to your feet, Seth. There is no need for this kind of reverence. We are equals, you and I. We are both warriors, and as such, no homage is required.
Seth lifted his head to find the face of Woden gazing back at him. The blue eye staring into him was like a pool of still water that held depths unimaginable in Seth's mind.
That's better. Now to the business of my coming to you. There is a task you will need to perform, and a sacrifice which must be given.
Woden paused as Seth digested the words.
Once this sacrifice has been given, I will return to you. But I will not come until you have completed what you feel needs to be done to settle your anger.
Again, he paused. Seth's eyes grew narrow as he considered what kind of sacrifice he would have to make.
The sacrifice is not yours to give, but one which will be taken. As such, it will cause you great hurt and anguish. But you need to remember, I will come back once your wrath has taken its course.
Seth's mind worked quickly. What sacrifice would cause him such pain and anger? His parents? Seth's shock was plain to see across his face, but he held his tongue.
I see you have come to a conclusion. So be it. But please remember, this sacrifice is inevitable and will be undertaken under the direction of someone close. The task will be one of great magnitude and require you to have even greater strength than you do now.
Seth stared blankly at Woden, still in shock at the knowledge his parents would be lost.
You are having trouble digesting this news, Seth. So I will speak again about this with you once you are ready.
Woden took a deep breath and stretched. His size was impressive, and Seth felt so small in comparison.
But why?
Seth's mind caught up with the conversation and suddenly formed a question. Woden smiled.
Sometimes people fear what they do not understand. And sometimes people will do anything to control what they fear. You, my boy, are both of those things.
Seth was starting to lose focus, and Woden was fading from his sight. The Mara placed their small arms around Seth's shoulders so he could feel the warmth of the energy they channeled into him, giving calmness to the situation, helping him regain the concentration he was losing.
Thank you, Mara. You are most helpful souls.
Woden had sat himself down, cross-legged, and was patiently waiting for Seth to gain control of his emotions.
I can imagine this revelation has given you cause for doubt. But be assured, you will find a way through. Although you will not understand why it had to happen, you will accept it with the knowledge you will have the chance to regain what you will lose. In time.
The last two words hung in the air for what seemed like an eternity to Seth. And his thoughts were running all around his mind, trying to make sense of it.
It is time I left you, Seth. But please remember what we spoke about. And know you are special. And that I will visit you again when we can discuss more.
Woden started to fade away, and the heaviness in the air around him lifted, leaving Seth kneeling on the ground with the Mara hanging off his shoulders.
Master Seth, we are sorry this news was not good, but we know you are strong and you will find a way through. And remember, your child will be proud of how you deal with this trial when you tell her of it.
Seth stared at the Mara.
Her?
A feeling of excitement passed through him, alleviating the sadness that had been hanging on his heart moments ago. The foreboding in his stomach had not gone away, but with talk of a daughter, all the thoughts of Woden's warning had suddenly left him, to be replaced with thoughts of a child.
You have never said anything of a daughter before, Mara.
Mara smiled and drifted away from where he knelt.
You have never asked before, Master. And we thought this would be good news to cheer you after your talk with Lord Woden.
With that, they were gone. Seth found he was alone in the fields, still feeling the giddiness he had gained from the news the Mara had given him. He rushed back into the house to tell Meredith and let her know she would bear him a daughter. Chapter 23. A Decision Made. Seth rode slowly along the path back from the King's Castle home with a heavy heart. After his meeting with the Mara and Woden, he had decided he would be there for the birth of his daughter. This meant he would need to be alive to greet her arrival. Meredith had been ecstatic at the news and had begun to plan for the birth. The meeting with Æthelbald had gone as well as could be expected. Seth told him he could no longer serve as part of his bodyguard, as he needed to think about his future family. He pointed out that his wife would never fall pregnant if he wasn't there to make it happen, and the duties required of him in the king's service didn't allow him much time at home. Æthelbald was angry at first, but soon calmed and seemed to accept what Seth was telling him.
You have been an excellent servant to me this last 5 summers. I think it is only fair to spend some time at home with that lovely wife.
Æthelbald paused as he gave Seth a smile.
After all, we were beginning to wonder if you had it in you. I was going to offer my services to ensure it happened, but if you are at home, then...
Seth gave a laugh, but he knew the king was still angry, no matter the jovial exchanges.
Once your child is born, you can rejoin me to take your place at my side.
This wasn't an offer. It was an instruction. Seth gave a smile and respectful nod, knowing that once he had his daughter, he would need to protect the lands to ensure her safety. The only way to accomplish that was at the king's side. The winter had been a severe one, with several villagers and livestock succumbing to the cold. Seth had used all his skill to ensure his farm survived the frost without any difficulties. This was something he knew needed to be done to ensure he had healthy pigs in the spring for breeding. Seth knew the hardships the people suffered on his return to his own village. It was a short ride, but the night was closing in, and he was minded to press on before darkness fell. The sun had dropped beneath the horizon as Seth entered the village. As he made his way through the centre, he spotted 3 of the local church council: Arian, his wife Lynette, and Ripley the priest, whom Seth had only met on a few occasions, and he seemed to be the ringleader of the 3. Seth gave a warm smile to Arian, who he'd helped through a rough time in the summer when their sheep had become diseased. Seth secretly used his spay skills to bring them back to health, as the family could not afford to lose them. Ripley's head turned quickly at the sound of hooves on the path. With a look of surprise on his face at meeting Seth's eyes, he took a breath to collect himself before raising a hand to halt Seth's progress. He clearly had something on his mind.
Ah, Seth, we were just speaking about you. So it's God's will that's brought you here tonight to allow me to convey our concerns.
Seth eyed the priest, then the 2 beside him, who looked a little shocked to find the person they had clearly been gossiping about next to them.
How do you account for the excellent health of your livestock when the rest of the village is struggling to keep their own alive and warm?
Ripley continued. The tone of accusation wasn't lost on Seth. He gave all 3 a stern look. Seth stared fiercely at Ripley, who was a small man with long brown robes that never seemed off his back. A look of smug satisfaction covered his ugly face. It seemed to Seth that the reason he became a priest was because he would not find a wife with a face like this. The bulbous nose and moles, that seemed to have better luck growing a beard than he did, were enough to make any woman run in the opposite direction.
Ripley, I wasn't aware that the health of my farm was of any great concern to you or your church council. If it's advice you seek, then I'm afraid I'm not in the mood to give out lessons on farming at this time of day.
Seth tried to remain calm. He could see Ripley was spoiling for a fight. The priest was in the king's favour, and he was overseeing the construction of a new stone-built church in the village under the direction of the Bishop of Lichfield to replace the old one they used for their services. Ripley was a strange man who Seth hadn't taken to at all. The piety of the priest was greater than any of the other preachers he had encountered. He'd heard stories of the lengths he would go to in his desire to convert people from their ways to his. Seth had watched many public humiliations and ransacking of property looking for evidence of demon worship, as Ripley would put it, only to find nothing other than carvings of Woden or Fraser. This was enough for him, though, and his ability to talk a crowd of people into a negative frame of mind was one of the things that marked him as a man Seth wanted to avoid.
I do not require a lesson from you, Seth. God will provide me with all the knowledge I seek, and I do not need a heathen like you to advise me.
Seth bit his lip, but felt his fists clench as his impatience with this man grew.
I've been speaking with these fine folk.
He gestured to Arian and Lynette.
They tell me that all are having difficulties this winter. All, that is, except you and your wife.
Again, Seth had the distinct feeling of being questioned. Arian and his wife looked to the ground, but said nothing. Undeterred, Ripley continued.
You know, I'm certain I've not seen you at church to ask the Lord to give you good fortune with your crops and animals. So how is it you're flourishing while others are not?
Ripley eyed Seth, giving him a look of contempt.
The only explanation I can find is that you must be in league with the demons.
Ripley spat the sentence out of his mouth as if it was something rotten and foul-tasting. Seth raised himself in his saddle. He towered above the three when standing, so on his horse he was clearly intimidating, and he knew it. Both Arian and Lynette appeared cowed. He could see the unease they felt by the way they shuffled from foot to foot. Ripley was different. He didn't flinch when Seth straightened his back. His pig-like brown eyes didn't show any sign of intimidation. Ripley pushed back the greasy brown hair from his forehead and continued to study Seth.
I can assure you, Ripley, I'm not now, nor have I ever been in league with any of the demons your scriptures tell of. Perhaps my farm is successful because my gods are generous and they reward me for my unending faith rather than jumping into bed with the first new religion to come along.
Seth felt his blood boil as he looked down at this weasel of a man. He dropped from his horse, then began to pat its neck with his gloved hand, deliberately exposing his sword. Ripley looked horrified. Seth's response clearly angered him. Arian and his wife edged away silently. Evidently, they had completed the task they were needed for and were not stupid enough to cross Seth. They crept away, leaving the two men facing each other.
Well, I have to say, I'm shocked the king would allow a man such as you to be anywhere near this court, let alone stand beside him in protection. It's people like you we're fighting so we can bring the word of God to the whole land.
Ripley was shouting now. He raised his finger to poke into Seth's chest.
If, as you say, you're not praying to the demons, then it must be that wife of yours. She's entirely too pretty to be of normal blood, so she must be a witch of some ilk.
It was a question, but as Seth grabbed his robes, then lifted his feet off the ground, bringing him close to look him in the eye, it was something he probably wished he hadn't asked.
My wife is not a subject for discussion, and if I hear you or anyone else speak ill of her, I will personally send you to whichever god you pray to. When I am done, he can deal with the mess in which you'll arrive at his table.
Seth didn't blink, nor did he raise his voice. The intent was clear, and Ripley heard exactly what he needed to.
Seth, my friend, please don't misunderstand me. It's been a tough winter for us all, and clearly you have some skills, as you say. Who am I to question the facts of the matter?
Seth held him a foot off the ground for a moment longer to emphasise his position, then slowly lowered Ripley back to his feet.
I'm glad we've reached an understanding.
Ripley nodded, then turned on his heels and ran after Arian and Lynette. The whole episode had left a nasty taste in Seth's mouth, as Woden's words returned to him.
There are those who fear what they don't understand,
he muttered. Ripley feared something, but since he didn't know what it was, he made assumptions based on his religious teachings. Seth made his way swiftly home, hoping his threat had given the effect he wanted it to. These were new days, and he felt lost with his new way of thinking, where Spey was considered evil. He now understood why May had begun to let herself get older. There was no place for people like her or Seth in this new world, where the old gods were being forgotten and replaced by this one god. Meredith greeted Seth as he stepped in the door with a warm and loving hug which lifted the gloom from his mind. He decided to hide the meeting on the road. She didn't need to hear the gossip of the likes of Ripley. Plus, the smell of the stew cooking on the fire filled him with memories of home and his parents. Since the day he had spoken with Woden, he wanted to check on them both to make sure they were still well. However, Æthelbald had been requesting his presence at more courtly meetings to discuss battle plans, so his time was limited and he had not been able to return to his parents' farm.
What troubles you, Seth? You do not seem yourself.
Meredith had seen straight through his mask, and he knew he couldn't hide his feelings from his wife. So he told her of the argument he'd had with Ripley, as well as Arian and Lynette's involvement.
How dare they side with him, after everything you did for them last summer?
Meredith was outraged and headed for the corner where her furs were kept.
I've settled his mind, Meredith. They will all think long and hard before they speak such nonsense again.
Meredith reached for her furs, then paused.
But what if they don't? What if the gossip and rumour spread like a disease through the whole village? What then, Seth? How will you convince them all we're simply normal folk who are excellent and lucky farmers?
Seth knew she was right, but he didn't want to think about it just now. It had been a long day, and given his run-in with Ripley, he felt tired and hungry. Meredith made her way to the pot where she drew out some stew, poured it into a bowl, then handed it to her husband. After they had eaten, Meredith made Seth comfortable in his chair at the fireside and brought him a warm drink to sit with while they spoke.
Do you think we'll stay here now you've left the king's service?
Meredith had a knack of getting straight to the point. It always made Seth smile when she did so.
No, I don't expect we will. I was thinking of heading back to my parents' farm and settling there with our daughter,
Seth said.
Won't it be a little crowded with five of us?
Meredith asked, looking puzzled. She was right, once again, getting straight to the heart of the matter. However, Seth knew that if his parents were gone, someone would need to tend the farm. He had yet to let Meredith know of his conversation with Woden.
We can cross the bridge when we get there. There's always our old home, or we could build a new house close by if needed.
This seemed to pacify Meredith's concerns, and she returned to her drink, taking a long sip of warm liquid.
That is good, because I'm looking forward to getting you all to myself again,
Meredith said with a smile.